Hello, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Now when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with difficult questions. She had a very large retinue with camels carrying spices and a large amount of gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was on her heart. And Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from Solomon which he did not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house which he had built, the food at his table, the seating of his servants, the attendants of his ministers and their attire, his cupbearers and their attire, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, she was breathless. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe their reports until I came, and my eyes had seen it, and behold, the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You surpass the report that I heard. How blessed are you men, how blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you, setting you on his throne as king for the Lord your God, because your God loved Israel, establishing them forever. Therefore, he made you king over them to do justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great amount of spices and precious stones. There had never been spice like that which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the servants of Huram and the servants of Solomon who brought gold from Ophir also brought algum trees and precious stones. And from the algum, the king made steps for the house of the Lord and for the king's palace and lyres and harps for the singers. And none like that was seen before in the land of Judah. And the king Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, which she requested, besides a return for what she had brought to the king. Then she turned and went to her own land with her servants. Now the weight of gold which came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold, besides that which the traders and merchants brought, and all the kings of Arabia and the governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon. And King Solomon made 200 large shields of beaten gold, using 600 shekels of beaten gold on each large shield. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold, using 300 shekels of gold on each shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold, and there were 6 steps to the throne and a footstool in gold attached to the throne. There are an arms of on each side of the seat and 2 lions standing beside the arms. And 12 lions were standing there on the 6 steps on the one side and on the other. Nothing like it was made for any other kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. Silver was not considered valuable in the days of Solomon. For the king had ships which went to Tarshish with the servants of Huram. Once every 3 years, the ships of Tarshish came bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth were seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his gift, articles of silver and gold, garments, weapons, spices, horses, and mules, so much year by year. Now Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And he stationed them in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. And he was the ruler over the kings from the Euphrates River even to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. And the king made silver as common as stones in Jerusalem. And he made cedars as plentiful as sycamore trees that are in the lowland. And they were bringing horses for Solomon from Egypt and from all countries. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon from first to last, are they not written in the records of Nathan the prophet and the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite and the visions of Iddo the seer concerning Jeroboam the son of Nebat? And Solomon reigned 40 years in Jerusalem over all Israel. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of his father David, and his son Rehoboam reigned in his place. Amen. Last time I mentioned that this chapter and the last chapter were really focusing on Solomon's greatness, his wealth. And so now we have a depiction of Solomon's wisdom, again, that's laid out. And so we have the Queen of Sheba. She's a very, very interesting person. Let me tell you who she is first, and then let me tell you some theories that are out there. She was a queen, a self-ruling queen. She seemed to have no religious affiliation at all in her kingdom. And her kingdom, there's usually two debates. Either she was from Ethiopia or from Yemen, or which is now considered Yemen. So it's kind of in that area. She was a very beautiful, very wealthy, very powerful monarch, a female monarch that ruled with a lot of grace. And so she sought Solomon for his wisdom. And you could tell that his wisdom and his strength spread throughout the kingdom. So she needed to come see for herself this thing. Now, so here's a couple theories, okay? I don't subscribe to any of these, but a couple theories, and some may be true. One theory says that she actually had a child with Solomon. Another theory says that she, in the Song of Songs, the Shulamite that we're talking about, most scholars believe that's actually her, that she was the Shulamite that Solomon was writing about all along, you know, dark skin, a bride, a queen. Another theory says that she basically, going all the way fast forward to the book of Acts, that she was a descendant of Candace, who was, from Ethiopia. And so there's some links there. But we know that historically, she's looked upon as very, very positively. In other words, she's one that turned from darkness and you know, come from a place with no religious affiliation. And then because she came and met with Solomon and partook of his wisdom, that she changed. And so in the New Testament, actually Jesus talks about her. And he doesn't say the Queen of Sheba, but he uses this term the Queen of the South in Matthew and also in Luke, Matthew 12:42 and Luke 11:31. And with the idea that the Queen of the South basically turned to the Lord. And you could see that she was very rightly impressed by Solomon, impressed with, not just Solomon in the way he was, but in the way that his people were, the way that his servants acted and dressed. And it seemed to fit a king. You know what I mean? There was something so regal about even his men and the way that they behaved. It was so fitting to match his wisdom. And you could tell that she learned so much, because when she gets to this place, she says, first of all, says, man, you people are so blessed that you can sit under this person's wisdom. And then she goes and she thanks God and said, God, you're the one who did this. So she is enamored with Solomon, but you could tell that there's been a major heart change inside of her, in the sense that maybe she came to hear a man, but she left learning about a God, which is quite a beautiful story in this way. And so verse 8, blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on his throne as king for the Lord your God, because your God loved Israel, establishing them forever. Therefore, he made you king over them to do justice and righteousness. So an irreligious queen comes and hears about the fame of a person, finds out, but at the end really comes face to face with the fame of the God that's behind the person. And, you know, if you think about that, that should be pretty much our whole witness, shouldn't it? I mean, there should be something a little bit different about the way that we live our life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You know, something about the attraction that we as believers should have towards the world. But see, the key is that it just doesn't stop at that attraction. And a lot of times it does. If you remember going through, many of you guys have gone through EG with me, and remember Henry Blackaby. You know, Blackaby says that, you know, all the world is seeing right now is just a bunch of nice Christians. He says they're not seeing God, because we're not attempting to do only what God can do. In other words, they're just seeing our character. They're just seeing our goodness. And that's good. I mean, that's really good. That should be the entry point. But the end of it is so that we should introduce him to this amazing God who's actually the one behind all the goodness and behind all those things that we can attribute to ourselves. And so the Queen of Sheba comes to that conclusion. She comes and she hears about the wisdom of this man and amazing, but she leaves with a relationship with God. And if some of those theories are true, she pretty much opens a doorway in her kingdom that maybe leads later down to Candace and so on and so forth, particularly the Ethiopians becoming a resting place for Jews. And then in the New Testament, where Christians, because of the ministry of Philip, goes forward. And by the way, even to this day, there is a remnant of Christians and Jews in Ethiopia. In fact, if you ever go to Israel and you see a lot of young, black soldiers in the Israeli army, they perform aliyah. In other words, they were brought back to their homeland, and these are Jews. And so, you could probably trace it all the way back here to the Queen of Sheba. I mean, I think it's kind of interesting how this works. And again, because of his fame, but it didn't just rest there, right? She was introduced to God who's behind that fame, who's the one that actually grants the wisdom. And I think that should be our approach when we talk about evangelism and these things. So, Solomon, crazy rich, man. Right, I mean, crazy rich. The amount of stuff that he had, you know, the 660 talents of gold, that's akin to about $19 million. I mean, in that time, can you imagine what $19 million is in that time? And then silver, probably about $2 million. This was coming every single year into this kingdom. So much so that silver, there's basically there's so much silver, it's just like stones, it's like rocks out there. And it's something that's so new to these guys, and his wealth and power, his majesty, his kingdom reign goes all the way out to Egypt, through the land of the Philistines, out to the Euphrates River. I mean, just this guy was, I mean, he had it made, all these things. But he dies, and then we have, well, the next chapter, you'll have to wait until Tuesday, right? A little cliffhanger here. But unfortunately, also, we need to mention that the sins of Solomon, his idolatry, his introduction of foreign princesses, and alignment with pagan nations, actually has a very dire, drastic effect for the next generation down. And we start here, now we get to next chapter, we get to Rehoboam, and his rule is full of folly, and then it just spirals down from there. And then, you know, the kingdom gets divided. And you could actually trace it all back to Solomon. Even though Solomon was the wisest man on the face of the earth, he was still susceptible to sin. We talked about that on Wednesday a little bit. And even though he was given so much, because of his introduction to a lot of these pagan ideas and princesses and all these things, it really, really had a bad, bad effect, particularly on his children and down the road, so on and so forth. I'm actually going to talk about a little bit about that this coming Sunday. And, I mean, pretty amazing, you know, great in his lifetime, but sadly enough, when we introduce these type of things, we'll bring it out into our families. You may have a great reign, but there's not going to be succession. There's not going to be a powerful generational transfer. You're going to transfer a lot of negative things down the line, which really gets us to, I mean, honestly say, man, we got to take care of our stuff in our generation, you know, before it goes down the line to our kids and our kids' kids. And I mean, it's kind of unfortunate Solomon kind of ends this way, and because the scriptures don't really tell us exactly the root issue that Solomon had, you know, could have been pride, could have been that he was enamored with the queen of the south and other people partaking of his wisdom. We don't know. Could it be that he was trying to be militarily astute by bringing alliances? And a lot of the foreign wives were part of alliances that he had made with foreign countries, which meant that he didn't really trust God to expand his territory and, you know, military rule and all these things. I mean, we don't really, I mean, we can, you know, ponder upon that for ages. But whatever the case may be, there was a chink in Solomon's armor, so much so, but as a result, he opens the door to incredible pagan influences that we'll see right off knock his son down from being the leader that he should have been. And so, so let's pray. It seems like now during these chapters, I come down with 2 points. I'm supposed to just come down with one devotional thought, but in the last few, it seems like there's 2. So one, if God is speaking to you about your witness, you know, are people noticing that you're different? You know, but then it doesn't just stop there. You have to point them to Christ, not to our witness, not to our discipline, nor to our lifestyle. We got to point them to why we do this. You know, give a reason for the hope that is within you. And then the second part, too, is this idea, well, you know, you may be handling things right now, but really, what are you passing down to the next generation? You may be able to manage your sin. You may be able to manage some of these follies, but that's generational transfer. The sins of the fathers get passed down generations. And let's say in our generation that the buck stops here, that I'm going to get right with God, that I'm going to overcome temptations, that I'm going to fight the good fight of faith and not pass down. In fact, I'm going to pass down generational blessing, which is so powerful as well. So whatever God's speaking to you about.
feel the warmth below me.
Let's pray this morning, whichever way God is convicting you of, either in our witness or about generational transfer, let's go before the Lord. Let's be earnest in our prayers. And let's ask God to equip us and forgive us and strengthen us and cause generational transfer to be powerful. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer, going through therapies, surgeries, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through illness, but more than anything needs to meet with Jesus. Physical healing and the revelation of the Lord in their life. Pray over our community that are battling through a non-cancer illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. If I can actually just add one. I don't know if you remember Pastor Sarah Lehman, my friend Eric, her mom is needs surgery on the 12th of September, and they found a tumor on her spine. And so pray for successful surgery. Pray that it's not cancerous as well. We'll put that on later, but if you can lift up. Let's pray for our community dealing with their job, looking for work, and pray for open doors and provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan and Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia. Pray for her ministry, her language learning. Let's pray the Holy Spirit would breathe a life over Japan. And also, you know, we've been talking about 2020, planning our church there. And so let's pray that God would continue to open the doors. Let's also pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for grace. Let's ask God's hand upon her. She's opening up her business as mission. A business fairly soon, I think in October. And so let's pray for all those things that take place. Let's pray for Oasis House, Pastor Jenny, our inner healing ministry there, that they will continue to grow and bless so many people. Let's lift up these countries and our friends. Let's pray over our missions council. Let's pray for each of the members that they would just be full of the wisdom and revelation. They would lead our church and our missional endeavors. Let's pray for local outreach ministries, Agape, Homi, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for our leaders, our volunteers. Pray for every person that we come in contact with in these ministries, that they would come to see the reality of Christ. Let's pray for SP Fam. Let's pray for our foster and adoption ministries. Seems like every week new kids, new babies are coming in. And so let's pray for all the families. Pray for just the love of God to give them strength and encouragement and energy. Let's pray for more families to sign up as well and open up their homes. Let's just ask God to continue to bless this ministry. Can we pray for our gatherings tonight? Pray for the intercessory prayer team. Pray for college ministry, SPU, the youth group as they meet. And also we start our EG class tonight. And let's pray for God's hand upon us. And as we gather to worship the Lord, that we'd be changed and transformed through it. Lastly, let's pray for House Church tonight. Elements, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson, Tavistock. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead our leaders and that they would just really reconnect with each other after the break and just really draw close. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, God, this morning. Thank you again for the reminder in your word, Lord. I thank you that, God, even our witness, Lord, should not be about ourselves, God, but be about you, about glorifying you, Lord, pointing people to you, God, not to our goodness or our discipline. Lord, we just ask, God, that people would take notice of the difference in our life, Lord. God, and so would you bless that, Father. And also, God, maybe others that maybe struggling with certain things, God. Lord, I pray that it would stop here in this generation, Lord, and not be passed down negatively, God. But instead, we would pass down generational blessing, Lord. We thank you. God, watch over us, Lord. Just be with us throughout this weekend as we come to glorify you, Lord, to worship you. We bless you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you over the weekend.